Wow. That was good again to be able to sing together, share together, and lift our voices in praise to the Father again this morning. With the carpet off the walls, one of the things that I noticed sitting in the front here, I was able to hear the people in the back singing. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Wow, what an opportunity we have to be able to fellowship together in the presence of God and come into His presence, knowing that He desires to fellowship with us. This is just not a formality that we go through on a Sunday morning because we have to. I trust that you're here this morning because you want to. So let's pause and ask the Lord to bless our time here in the Word. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into Your Word and to learn from You. And I pray that as we take this time to open the Word, that it would be to Your honor, to Your glory, that today You would receive the praise for it. So, Father, we invite You to move among us. I pray that You would protect the words that come from my lips, that they would reach the ear of the hearer undefiled, and that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a couple of times already this morning that there was mention brought of slowing down, and Eric talking about his drive and talking to the gentleman on the phone, and I think there's so much we can learn in our busy, crazy lifestyle that we live, that sometimes we just need to slow down a little bit. We need to look at what it is that is distracting us, so I believe that God has something for us here this morning. I'm going to continue on this series of Rooted, recognizing again this morning that if we are to stand the storms of time, then we need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. We need to have roots that are bringing nourishment to the plant, to the vine, and that the branches which we are will benefit from it. And so our roots, recognizing again, I'm going to be reading from John 15, verses 1 through 8, and you can turn there with me this morning if you wish and follow along. But looking at the next step, we looked at planting the seed. So the first thing that happens for a plant to grow is the seed needs to be planted, right? Then we looked at growing the plant, and how that the plant needs water, and it needs sunshine, it needs nourishment, it needs fertilizer, those kind of things to make the plant grow. And this morning, we're going to look at pruning the plant, because it's valuable. It is an essential part of the plant continuing to grow is the pruning that we go through in life and recognizing where that comes from. So let's read those verses, and then I'll make some comments. In John 15, 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word. And so as we look at it this morning, I believe that God has something for us this morning as we look at that. I thank you for allowing Karen and I to take a weekend away last weekend with our family. And it was a great time. It was good to be able to get away and get refreshed that way with family. Next weekend, Karen and I are going to be leaving for Florida. So we'll be here every other week at least. So I just want to put that to rest that, well, we're not going to be gone all the time, but for this time it held out this way. So next weekend we won't be here. We'll be in Florida. as I was thinking about this here pruning, I was thinking about how there are so many things in life that, and I believe that as I talked about, there are some times you just have to slow down a little bit and take a breather. And I'm all for that. I'm in favor of you stopping, slowing down, taking some time once in a while to regroup. I believe that is good. I believe it's godly, okay? So I believe it's good to do that. Now, I'm not just justifying what I'm doing in that I was away last weekend and going to Florida the following week. But I believe it is good for us to just slow down once in a while. And one of the things that I believe God might be calling us to prune is some of the busyness of our life that distracts us, gets us sidetracked. And like Eric, you know, if Eric would have yielded to his feeling of, well, he's got places he has to be, he has phone calls he has to make, but there was a gentleman that needed to talk. And many times in our lives, we miss those opportunities because there are so many things going on. And I had one of those incidents this week where Louis was laying there on the chair looking out. We set a chair at the deck doors with the big windows there, you know, where he can look out on the deck. And he was laying there on the chair looking out on the deck, watching the birds hop around the deck. And it drives him crazy. He can't get to them. They're right there on the other side of the window. He does this chirp thing. He just, and you see his muscles flex. I snuck up on him when he was doing this. Oh, what fun. I scared the bejeebies out of him. And so what it brought to my mind was I thought about this whole thing. He was extremely distracted with something, and he didn't see me coming. He didn't see me there. He didn't realize that there was somebody right next to him. I reached down and touched him, and he leaped in the air. And I had a similar situation this week. We were at work there. I was busy at the counter. Things were crazy, and there's a gentleman walked in there with a cylinder for repair, and I was distracted, and I looked at him, and I asked him what he had, and he told me, and we went out to the shop, and I unloaded it, and we looked at it, and talked about what was wrong with it, and he gave me his company name, and I said, well, you know, what's your contact name that I can contact you? My mind was just everywhere else but what I was doing at that moment. And he said his name is Dwayne Priest. And I stopped, and I looked at him, said, wow. I mean, I don't know if, how many of you met Dwayne and Tina, Ryan and Janelle's parent, or Ryan's parents. And I felt about this big because I was so distracted. And I wondered how often in life do we go through life where we become so distracted that there's somebody right next to us that we are not seeing because of our distraction. Maybe there's some time for some pruning. Maybe there's some time for things to change. Here's a quote from Alexander Denhijar. And I'm probably not saying that right, but let's forget the name and focus on the quote. It says, when a flower doesn't bloom, you fix the environment in which it grows, not the flower. Think about that. When the flower doesn't bloom, you fix the environment in which the flower is in. You don't fix the flower. You don't take the flower and rearrange it. You don't change the petals. You don't turn them towards the sun more or whatever. Yeah, that one might be a good thing, but you don't mess with the flower. You change the environment in which the flower is in, and then it is able to grow because it is connected to the vine in a proper way. Many times in life, we attempt to change the external when it is really a root problem. So there are times that we need to focus on the root, and we need to look at what it is that we are plugged into, our lives are connected to, why there isn't growth happening. What is it that is hindering it from happening? And what are the things that we may need to take a look at? And so this scripture here does speak somewhat to the external, to the branch. It doesn't talk about the fruit, but it talks about the branch and what to do with the branch, that it brings forth good fruit. And we talked about the seed being planted and growing, and good ground, good water, good sunshine. And today we'll look at the whole idea of pruning. And wow, before we get into this here scripture, let me turn with you. You don't need to turn here, but I'll read us. Hebrews 12:1 says this: "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," what? "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In this here scripture, we are called to do some pruning. Let us lay aside the weight of sin that so easily beset us. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of those excess things that are keeping us from running for the Lord. And we're called to do that. That's an action on our part for us to do that. And then we go on in Hebrews 12:5-6 says this: And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So there's a part of us that is called to, we do some pruning, and there's also pruning that God does in our lives. And so those are two important things that I think we have to remember as we go through life, is that God is interested in the plant and he will prune it, and we should not reject it. We should not become discouraged. We should not become lose heart when we're rebuked by God, because God cares about the plant. God cares about the growth. God cares about the fruit that is coming out of your life and my life, because it is what makes a difference in the world that we're living in. Pruning focuses on removing what is dead or is hindering good fruit. It does not focus on the fruit. It focuses on pruning what is dead or what is not good. It doesn't focus on the fruit. The plant and the vine, with the proper and right environment, will bring forth good fruit from the vine. If the plant and the vine and the branches are good, it'll bring forth good fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an element of responsibility that we have, but the biggest responsibility we have is to abide in the vine, to stay in the vine. And there is where the growth comes from. My mother had two grapevines, and as I thought about this here, this scripture here, and I believe it is referring somewhat to a grapevine. And my mother had two grapevines, and she had an ability to be able to trim those grapevines to the place where we had delicious, sweet grapes that we were able to eat from the grapevine. I never learned the art of pruning the grapevine, but my mother did. She never taught me that, because I think, and my brothers, but I think she felt like, I don't know. She did. What our job was to pick up the cut off branches. It was just a pain, okay? All she wanted to do was cut off branches to give us work. But, you know, we enjoyed the sweet grapes when we picked them off of there and ate them. The one grape arbor was over the end of the walk that went into the house, and you'd stop and pull a couple grapes off, and they were good. But they were because the vine was properly pruned that those grapes grew good. And so needless to say, the day that Billy the goat got into Mom's grape arbor was the last day that Billy spent on our farm. The next day, he was on the way to the market. I don't know where he went from there, but that was, Mom took pride in her grapes, and Billy chose to prune one of the grape vines for her, which was, and yes, it was Billy, his name was Billy, and yes, he was a Billy goat. Pretty basic. We didn't give our names a lot of thought. Porky the pig, Billy the goat, Spotty the dog. Guess what color Spotty was? Black and white. Just a little side note there. But pruning the vine and the branches was what produced good fruit. And I read somewhere that one of the things that I learned about pruning grapes was that there's a certain type of grape that you have the vine and you have the branch where the grapes grow on, the branch. And so the branch has buds on it, and these buds, they will count. So the buds numbers 8 through 12 were the buds that give, that produce the best grapes. And so they cut off all the others and left 8 through 12 there, and it produced beautiful grapes. And so we understand, we get the concept of cutting off dead branches. But what about cutting off good branches? What about cutting off some things that are good to get the best? That's hard for us to get. And I believe that God does that. Remember, God is the vine dresser. And maybe today, at the end of this message, you'll need to do some pruning as you think about that. A natural part of the relationship, the vibrant, growing relationship with God, is the process of pruning. Just as a plant, it's a healthier after we prune it and it's revitalized, it's a healthier plant after that is done. And so it is with the Christian experience, with growth. When unhealthy areas of our lives are trimmed and thinned, then we are able to grow and produce good fruit. It is those dead branches, it is those extra things that cause our fruit to become lifeless, cause our fruit just to become mediocre. So there are times that we need to cut off some things. We must see God as followers of Jesus. We must see God's work in our lives. He has our best in mind. He has our best in mind, and His glory is at stake. If you listen to the verses as we go through them, what is it for? It's for the honor and the glory of God that we do that. God is the divine gardener. This is something to think about. God is the divine gardener who has our spiritual growth as His goal. He is the divine gardener. He has our spiritual growth as His goal. This should put you in touch with who God is in your life and my life. He's not just somebody out there that doesn't care about what's going on in your and my life. He is there. He is involved. He wants to be. He cares about you. And therefore, God will use anything in our lives to shape us into the people that He wants us to be. There are these things that come in life that you say, why? What is going on? Could it be that God is pruning? Could it be? A little bit of a reflection on the Sunday school lesson again this morning, those things that, the trials that come in life. What, really, what is going on? If there's something in our lives that is unhealthy for us, God wants to prune it. He wants our good to be the best, and God will prune it. Something for us to feel. Jesus is the source of life. He has accepted us. He will guide us. He will love us. He is the source of life. We must be conscious. We must make a conscious decision to welcome God's pruning into our lives and join Him in actively seeking out areas in our lives that may need some change. So join with God in that. Join with Him in that. And He will lead and guide and direct you in that. One of the things that happens is, in order for growth to happen, is that this whole process of pruning, sometimes it can be painful. I thought about a couple of years ago, there's some people came to our place to help from church here to help with mulching and trimming and stuff like that. And Ray Weaver and his sons took the responsibility of trimming my spruce trees. I have three spruce trees that have become kind of a pain. They're growing out at the bottom on the ground, and it's hard to mow around them, and they grow weeds in there. And I told Ray to go ahead and trim the spruce trees, however he sees fit. And he trimmed the spruce trees. He trimmed off all those bottom branches. And in between those branches, there was long sticks of branch sticking out that were dead. Like if you bumped your head on them, it left a mark. They were pointy. They were sharp. It was a pain. And Ray had a shears that it kind of got, the blade got bent by trying to cut him off. It wasn't a real fun thing to do. But today, 2 years later, those spruce trees look better than they ever did. And it's because the nutrients and stuff, I believe, are going to places where it needs to and not to the dead stuff. So that's, sometimes it is painful. Sometimes we don't like what it takes. When the pruning happens, it's hard, it's difficult, and we don't like it. And I want to tell you, as your pastor here this morning, that I know that there are areas in my life that need pruning. I know that. I know that God is still working on me. I know that there are areas in my life that I wish were better, and I know that God is pruning me in the areas of leadership and in my personal life. And there have been some untruths that have been floating around. And I want you, if you're hearing things, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me. Because I want to be open. I want to be pruned. And by the grace of God and, you know, everything else, I will try not to be offended. But talk to me. Talk to me. Because I don't want to miss the opportunity for pruning. I don't want to miss that opportunity. So I invite you. I invite you to enter into my pruning process. So come to me and talk to me. It's not big sin issues or anything. It's just matters of how things are done and stuff. So I am open to that. I welcome that. I realize that I'm not perfect. I understand that. And I confess that to you. But I want to be pruned. I want to become more like Jesus. Like many aspects of our faith journey, pruning isn't always easy, but it is necessary in order for healthy growth to happen. And I recognize that, and you recognize that. And there have been times in your life where you have gone through a pruning, where you have recognized that there have been things in your life that needed to be pruned out. There are things in your life that needed to be changed, that needed to be gotten rid of so that you can become more of what Christ wants you to be. And the thing that stands out to me in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, the first statement that stands out to me is that Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. I am the source. I am where you will get your strength. I am the vine through which all the nutrients and everything you need will flow through. You don't need to go to Dr. Dobson. You don't need to go to I don't know who else it may be that you're looking for. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. These other people and things and books and places are the atmosphere or the environment is what I'm trying to get. They are part of the environment that helps growth. I believe that. But remember, always remember that Jesus himself is the true vine. He is the true vine. There is no other. There is no other way to God than except through Jesus Christ and him alone. And I know that's not popular in today's culture, but it is the truth of God's word. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the one vine, the true vine. And then he goes on in the next part of the verse there, and he says, my Father is the vine dresser. And I found that so exciting and also maybe somewhat new to me, but the Jesus is the vine. It's not Jesus who is doing the dressing. It's the Father who's dressing the vine. It's the Father who is cutting off the dead branches. It is the Father who is cutting off things that are not to get you to be your best, cutting off the things that are not good for the vine, cutting off the things that are not good for the branch to be able to produce its best. And he goes on, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And I thought about this here whole idea of him taking away a branch that doesn't bear fruit. And I thought about the vine and the branch. And how did the branch get there? How did the branch get there? How was there a branch there that wasn't producing fruit that he cut away? How did the branch get on the vine? It started with a bud. It started with a bud and it grew into a branch. And somewhere along the line, it did not abide in the vine. The branch became dead and the Father cut it off. So there's this concept today that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I think this particular scripture has somewhat to say to that. Because the branch was in the vine. It started as a bud. It grew. And the Father cut it off because it was dead, not producing fruit. And then he goes on, he says, but the branch that bears fruit, he prunes. The branch that is giving fruit, he prunes it. He makes it better. And today we have this idea somehow that God is mad at me when things don't go my way and when things happen in my life, then somehow God is mad. No, he's not. He cares about you. He cares enough to bring things into your life to bring you to a place where you can be all that you are to be for him. And he will cut off the things that are not produced, the things that hinder you from being your best. He will cut those things off. In Romans 8, 28, it says this, we know that all things God, we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good. So the things that we're experiencing in life, the pruning that is happening, the chastening that is happening, don't reject it. Don't reject it. Embrace it. Because the Father cares more about you than you care about yourself. By a long shot. When a branch is on the vine and it becomes fruitless, God removes it. It is no longer abiding in the vine. So the earthly gardener is interested in fruit producing. How much more must the Father be interested in fruit producing out of our lives? See, we get, like I said earlier, we get the concept of cutting off something that is dead. But do we get the concept of cutting off something that is good in order to get the best? I believe that's something that we need to wrestle with. The pruning that God does in our lives is for His glory. His glory. Too many times I believe that we fall into the trap of trying to make ourselves look good. Make the flower look good. Whatever you need to do, the plant, the root is rotten. The vine is not whole. But we focus on making the flower look good. That's coming from the wrong place. The fruit will be good when the roots are good and the vine is the true vine and the branches are pruned, you will get good fruit. When the right environment, the water, fertilizer, sun, and that is applied and the branch grows and the branch is properly pruned, then there will good fruit come out of that. Maybe you're involved in too many things today. Maybe you're involved in too many things in church. Maybe you're involved in too many things in school. Maybe you're involved in too many things in the neighborhood. Maybe you're involved in too many things at work. Maybe you're involved in too many things altogether. Maybe it's church, school, work, and all combined, you're involved in too many things. And the beautiful fruit that God wants to produce out of you is being choked. It is being stymied. It is less than the good fruit that He wants you to be. Is it time to cut something off? Is it time for some pruning? Because if you open your heart up, God will do it for you. I believe that. I believe that God will take care of some things. If you stop and say, I'm no longer abiding in the vine. I am operating on my own energy. I am operating on my own ability. If we stop and say, God, I need help. I need help. He is willing to help. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it speaks about nine fruits that produce, that are products of the Spirit. And we're all familiar with that, but let me read them quickly to you. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. And I'm asking you this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you recognize that in your life there is something that is robbing the joy from you. There is something that is robbing this. The fruit of the Spirit first is love. Is there something that is in your life that is robbing your life of love for one another? Is there something in your life that is robbing you of loving your children, your wife, your spouse, your neighbor, the lost? Loving God. Is there something in your life this morning that might be taking the joy from you? Have you become so involved in something that has so encapsulated your, or got your mind and everything so messed up and there's no joy there no more? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Is there perhaps this morning, there's something that has taken your peace? And that could go hand in hand with joy. But I believe that joy, the joy of the Lord, is something that is much deeper than just being happy. And peace is something that, passes all understanding. Are you here this morning? Is there something that needs to be pruned? Is there a dead branch, or is there branches that are not, that are taking away the sap and the energy from the good fruit? What is robbing you of your joy and peace? Think about these fruits for a moment. These are an area that all of us want to grow in. We all want to be more loving. We all want to be more joyful. We all want to be more peaceful. What is stopping it? What is stopping? What is hindering it? What is keeping it from happening? The only way that these fruits can grow day by day is if we remain connected to the vine. In verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And I believe that's saved. You are already saved. But there's some pruning and stuff that God wants to do in our lives. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been operating on your energy. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been operating on what you, the energy that you have brought, and you're just about out of energy. You don't have much left. He says, remain connected to the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Spiritual growth cannot and does not happen by accident. But it does happen. Spiritual growth happens when the dead stuff is cut away, when the parts that are sucking the life out of you are cut away, and all the energy of the vine that Jesus has for you, all the energy that Jesus has for you is out into those branches and it produces fruit. And I know that I haven't named all the areas in life that you may be struggling with this morning, but I know what life is. I know, and I've experienced life, and I know how that we can get caught up in things and it can become things that rob us of what God wants for us. He goes on in verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. I remember walking around after Mom had clipped off the branches of the grapevines, picking them up and taking them out to the burn pile. It's withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, verse 7. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Do you desire to grow fruit? Do you desire to grow fruit that is beneficial for the people walking under the grape arbor are able to reach up and pull off some good fruit and partake of it and taste the sweetness of it? Or are you growing bitter fruit? Has your fruit become bitter? Has it become detestable? Will it be spit out when it's taken in the mouth? Ask, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. The Father's task is to change us. The Father's task is to change us. We have the story of the woman at the well that Jesus met at the well, and he called her out on the fact that he told her to go get her husband. She said, "You don't have a husband." He said, "You've answered correctly. You've lived with five men, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." He told her the secret things of her heart. And you know what happened right away? I find this so amusing. First thing she did was she tried to change the subject. She got to talk about worship. So where are we going to? She then changed the subject to, where should we worship? Is it going to be here or there? And changing the subject from when he got to her heart, when she exposed, when it was revealed. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to get to the heart. He wants to get right in there to those secrets. She had a secret, and he went right after it. If you're here this morning, you have a secret. God wants to go after it. Why? He wants to prune it. He wants to prune you. He wants you to be all that you can be to the honor and glory of God. If there's a secret, he wants to prune it because he is in the business of changing. Jesus wants to expose your secret, and when exposed, it can be pruned. And that's the challenge I want to leave with you this morning. That's the challenge I want to leave with you this morning. You can't prune the vine that's not exposed. And so first of all, you need to expose the vine, you need to expose the branch to the Father for pruning. Because I believe, I'm not talking to a group of people that are unsaved. I'm talking to people that are saved. And so the pruning is for the idea of growing better fruit. And not that I think that you're a bunch of bad fruit. I believe in all my heart that God has done miraculous things in your lives. And I'm proud of that. He wants to do more. He's not done. See, I'm almost 60 years old, and I'm starting to realize things that I thought were done are not done. And that gives me excitement because it excites me the fact that God's not done with me. He didn't give up on me. He's not cutting off a dead branch. He's pruning one that I hope is giving fruit. And that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me this morning. So if you're here, and you're saved, you're a fruit-bearing branch. Let God prune you to become all that you can be in Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to fellowship with you over the word. I pray, Father, that you would take this word that was shared here this morning, that the book that you wrote, that you gave us this morning, Lord, I pray that you would take it and drive it into our hearts, that we would be able to receive it, and that we would be able to produce fruit to your honor and to your glory. Not to lift up me, but to lift up you, Lord. I want that new covenant would be a place where we could truly have a passion and a desire to lift you up, and that you would be glorified, and that the fruit is a reflection of our connectedness to Jesus, the true vine. And through that fruit, that the community around us would be able to partake of that fruit because of the pruning that we have allowed in our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with pruning, I pray that you would impart peace and grace and the ability to receive and to walk through the pruning that is happening, because I believe that out of it will come a better fruit. So, Father, we give this fellowship to you. As we go out from this place today, Father, I pray that this week we would be able to be the people that you want us to be in this community, whether it be at work or school or on the road, wherever it is, at the grocery stores. Lord, help us to recognize and to see the people around us and not be so distracted that we don't see who's standing in front of us. That's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the chorister to lead us in a closing song.